join me on Facebook, J. Bruce Sophia - Hijack Life. Love for you to follow, be a part, engage, comment, and let's conquer the world for Christ together.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
Take your Bibles and turn to the third chapter of Genesis. It's our text this morning. Actually, we're going to begin with chapter 2, verse 24. This is the first institution God ordains. We have three major institutions God ordains. He ordains the government, He ordains the church, and He ordains the family.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world. Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Today on Change by the Word, we continue our study in the book of Genesis with chapter 2, where we see the first institution God ordains, marriage.
Yes. Before God ever instituted the government, or even ordained the church, by the way, God institutes marriage. First institution
He ever created. I got to jump in here. How cool would it have been to walk in the cool of the evening with God Almighty? You wouldn't have ever needed a tree of knowledge. All you needed to do was ask a question.
Yeah. You know, my last week's sermon, you know, God had given me these four revelations during the week, and one of which was, why do we need a physical body in eternity?
Right.
I mean, it's the spirit that was created immortal.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But God's intent was that the flesh would be immortal too.
That's where it gets really interesting for some people.
Because remember, he actually puts a cherub guarding the garden so that man wouldn't eat from the tree of life and live forever.
Right.
God sets those years.
Yes.
Sometimes I think, 1,000 years. How in the world? Think what you would see in 1,000 years.
I couldn't fathom it.
No. Take 1 century.
I'd be lucky I could see till tomorrow, and on some instances see till next week. Yeah. You're saying 1,000
years?
Yeah,
just take the 1900s to 2000.
Yeah.
What happened in that 100 years? I mean, and to see 1,000 years?
Yeah.
But anyway. So in this, we introduced chapter 3, and now we're in chapter 3, and we're looking, let's reword that. We look at chapter 2, and we introduce chapter 3 in this study. But we specifically looked at this institution of marriage. Now, this is what I really like about this. Verse 25 says, they were naked and not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be? Because it was a state, they were in a state of righteousness.
Mm.
Remember, to the pure, all things are pure.
Yes.
They didn't know
sin
existed. So there was no shame in their nakedness.
It really was heaven on earth.
Right.
Yes.
And now I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we used to have classes where models would come in. We had anatomy classes. And to this day, I don't, and some people criticize me and that, and I get it. You're a pastor. I don't look at artistic nudes as wrong.
Right.
Now, a lot of these artists that did artistic nudes, and you could look at Picasso, and you could look at Eichhardt, and I love Eichhardt's work, especially his two beauties where he has his wife and he has a child sitting next to her. They did some erotic stuff, which is hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
So artists did work that was pornographic, for lack of a better word.
Right.
You know, they couched it a little different, but that was their intent.
Right.
Let me correct that. Maybe that wasn't their intent. Maybe their intent was, this is a part of life, and it's a part of life. I don't know. I can't.
I think they just tried to capture it in a whole 100%.
Yeah. But art, nudes can be artistic and not be wrong.
When sin got in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. When sin got in the world, all of a sudden the flesh corrupted what never was intent to be.
Very well said.
I mean, when God made man, that was the most beautiful form in my mind that was ever made. Mm-hmm. Out of man, he brought forth the woman.
That's right.
Second most beautiful creature ever made in the world. We men would say that was the most beautiful creature ever made in the world.
We would.
So if God created that, it wasn't created to be profaned.
That's right.
Sin has profaned what God created to be sacred.
It was created to be kept sacred.
Yes.
Yes. That's what's wrong in the world today.
I mean, really, in my mind, the most two beautiful forms in all of creation, no matter how you look at it, you know, you look at El Capitan, you look at Old Faithful, Mount Everest, all these things which are amazing, can't begin to touch the human body.
That's right.
The complexity in the human body, because the human body is made in the image of God.
That's right.
So we look a little bit about that. We talk about that they were naked and not ashamed. How did that come about? And then we go to chapter 3, where we meet Slewfoot.
Slewfoot.
Yeah, the old snake, the serpent, who was more cunning than any creature God had ever created. Mm-hmm. And he talked.
Yep.
Now, we don't know if the serpent talked prior to.
Right.
Or he talked when.
In spirit form.
Yes.
Right.
When Satan used him as his vehicle. Mm-hmm. But the serpent questions, as always.
Yeah.
The inspiration of God.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration of the words of God. Did God say? That's what he says today.
Absolutely.
Hadn't changed it. Like, same old stinking lie.
What he has in his arsenal is what he has. He has nothing new. But he's an expert at using what's in his arsenal.
Yes.
Right. What same approach he used there back on day one is the same approach he uses today.
He's not God. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent.
Can't create.
He's not all-powerful.
That's right.
So he's no match for God.
That's right.
But we're no match for him.
That's the truth. Remember, you know, people say to me, man, we need to praise the – we need to storm the gates of hell. And I go, whoa. What we're supposed to do is storm the gates of heaven.
Heaven, amen.
Yeah. We can't stand a chance against that.
David is perfect. I mean,
perfect.
You read
absolutely perfect.
You read through the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
David never once addresses the enemy.
That's right.
Ever.
That's right.
You know, because he knows that the only person who can defeat the enemy is God.
That's
so he's
right.
always addressing God.
That's right.
God, my enemies.
Yeah.
You know, help me here. And God always comes through. And you know, Martin Luther said, "One little word shall fell him."
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yep.
Three letters, G-O-D, five letters, J-E-S-U-S, you know, that's our winner. And then we developed this whole, we talk about how do we resist Satan? How do we do what Eve didn't?
Right.
You know?
Yep.
She was deceived. Adam sinned willfully.
Yes. That's well and that, said.
And yeah. And then we could really get into how come sin is passed on through the male and not the woman. Because otherwise, Jesus would have been born sinful.
Right.
You know, because Mary was sinful.
Right.
So how do we have a sinless Savior when Mary was not sinless? You know what I mean?
The Immaculate.
How do we get that?
The Immaculate.
They call it the Immaculate Conception, which, you know, didn't come about till after 1000 AD. In fact, I think it was much later than that when Catholicism introduced that, because scientifically we understand that. We understand how those eggs are separated and they sit independent of sin. And therefore, when they're fertilized by the Holy Spirit, we receive a Savior independent of sin.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep,
but anyway, this is really a fascinating study.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All of this book of Genesis is a fascinating study. And so enjoy the study. I hope that it will let you understand why we live in the world that we live in. and how by possessing the Holy Spirit, we can say no to what Eve was unable to say no to. So enjoy this study, everybody. I think you're going to love it.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Take your Bibles and turn to the third chapter of Genesis. It's our text this morning. Actually, we're going to begin with chapter 2, verse 24. This is the first institution God ordains. We have three major institutions God ordains. He ordains the government, He ordains the church, and He ordains the family, marriage. Verse 24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. I might mention that the word, the Hebrew word, where it says that God made woman, you ladies, I thought you may like this. The word made in the Hebrew means to skillfully fashion. So all you ladies, you are skillfully fashioned. I thought so when I met my wife, and still think so, and I hope all of you men think the same of yours. But that's what God said. Women are skillfully fashioned. In verse 25, it says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Why were they naked and yet had no shame? Theologians call the word innocence. They were in a state of innocence. And by that we mean they were neither righteous nor were they wicked. They were neither holy nor evil. Do you understand that? They were in a state of not being righteous nor evil. They were actually in a state of what we call innocence. Some feel they were clothed in light, as in Mark chapter 9, verse 3, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was clothed with a garment of light. Also the redeemed in Revelation 3, verse 4, and 21, verse 23. Personally, you may hold that, but personally, I don't think so. I think they were naked, just like the Bible says, and they had no shame. Why should they be clothed in light? They weren't holy. They didn't need to be covered because they hadn't sinned yet. So they were like your little baby who's just learning to walk. We call it a toddler, kind of waddling when it takes its steps. And when you take off its clothes, it feels like it's $1 million. It runs all over the place and rolls over the floor, and it's just in a state of innocence. It doesn't know it's naked. Not till it gets a little older and becomes aware of what sin is and sin isn't, that it wants to cover. And that's the way it was with this couple in the garden. And that's important because it is a preface to chapter 3, our text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. It is a lamp to our path. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Make it that for us this morning. Help me not to say more than I should nor less than I should. Anoint these lips that what might come forth might be touched by thy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, if you have a King James, it says gods. Actually, the word is Elohim, the same word that's used in the beginning, God. It's the triune God, three personalities but one God. And Orthodox Christianity, from Roman Catholic to whatever branch of Protestantism you're part of, believes in a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one and yet three distinct personalities. Elohim, that's this word. It should actually be God, capital G-O-D. Knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree, I'm going to have to slow down. I'm getting so I pace back and forth as much as Buddy here, and you're going to get dizzy on me. So I'm just going to stand here for a minute and just read. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the voice. They heard the voice of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman you put here, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." I don't even need to make that point in the sermon. I'll skip it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And God said to the serpent, and that's where we pick up next week, the serpent. It means just what it is, a snake. Hebrew word means it's a snake, and that's what it was. If we were to outline this, there's five letters, A, B, C, D, E. And the first is the serpent and the temptation. And it says about this serpent that he was more cunning or crafty, or the King James says subtle, than any other beast the Lord had made, wild animal. Serpent is in the classification of wild. The Bible said he made domestic animals and he made wild animals, which meant God made domestic dogs and he made wild dogs. He made domestic horses and he made wild horses, zebras. They didn't evolve, he made them. That's why we have two classifications of horses, and many times one and the same thing is friendly and the other is not friendly. More cunning than any beast of the field. And the serpent talked to Eve. Hasn't that always intrigued you? She didn't seem shocked, did she? She just talked to it. And I've often wondered, was the serpent verbal? Could it talk? I don't know. So the text would almost infer that. She's not shocked by it. She just converses with it as though she had spoken to that serpent maybe 100 times before that in their days in the garden. Someone once said, because it uses the word cunning here, that the serpent was by its nature sneaky, see? And that when Satan wanted to find something to use, that was the perfect instrument. Because naturally he was sneaky and sly and crafty. So they schemed together. I like to think this as premeditated murder. Satan and the serpent get together. They have a little conference, and they come up with a plan. And this is the plan. So serpent, the first thing he does, Verse 1, he questions the inspiration of Scripture, doesn't he? The first thing this serpent does is he questions the inspiration of Scripture. He says, yea, hath God said. Did God say that? They do the same today. It's no different 6,000 years later. Man says, scriptural morality. You mean to tell me we're really not supposed to have sex before marriage? Come on, man, that went out. Didn't go out. Hath God said you can't do that? You mean to tell me you believe in the creation account? You've got to be kidding. We know that it all happened over billions and billions of years from one little cell. Hath God said? And the virgin birth, and the crucifixion, and the resurrection, and turning the water into wine? Come on. Hath God said? Has it changed? No. Satan's tactics are still the same. He has no new schemes. You know why he has no new schemes? Because he can't create anything. He doesn't create anything. Everything that's wrong in this world is wrong because he has perverted it, not because he has created it. He does not have the power to create. The same guitar that can be used to bless and to praise can be used to put forth lyrics that destroy and tear down. What are you using?
Are you struggling to read your Bible each day? Looking for some inspiration? Well, we have a printed resource that will help you with your daily Bible reading. It's our gift when you call 1-800-CHANGED. Just ask for the Word for You Today devotional. The number again is 1-800-242-6433. You can also get a free copy when visiting the website, cbtw.org. That's cbtw.org. While you are there, you will find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, including archived radio programs, our Changed by the Word television program, all on demand. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. We constantly hear from those listening, not only here on WFIL, but from nations like Nigeria, Singapore, and the Philippines, just to mention a few. That only happens through the sacrificial gifts of our Changed by the Word partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word. The never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Hope Rises is an all-new Easter production presented by the GCCC Creative Arts Department.
At the tomb that day, just shuffling soldiers' feet, as they guarded the grave, one day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus breathed his last?
This is a unique modern-day story that tells of a Midwest town that searches for answers after their world collapses.
This uplifting and compelling production combines drama, sets, costumes, lights, sound, and music as the Easter story unfolds.
1 weekend only, 5 performances, and admission is free. Friday, April 7th at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, April 8th at 3:30 and 6:30 p.m. And again Sunday, April 9th at 9:15 a.m. and again at 12:15 p.m. Hope Rises Easter production at the Gloucester County Community Church. Visit gcccpray.com for times and directions.